What are you wearing? Last weekend, little girls wore white dresses and boys wore suits and ties as they made their first Holy Communion here at Guardian Angels. Teenagers have been dressing up for prom. Graduates have been donning special robes. With the wedding season, brides and grooms and maids of honor and groomsmen adorn themselves. The newly baptized are clothed in white garments. Next weekend, we'll have two new priests in our archdiocese, and they will wear the priest chasuble, a sign of Christ's gentle yoke, for the first time. What are you wearing? The gospel mentions being clothed with power from on high. And the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles says that two men dressed in white garments appeared to the apostles. What did those two men say? This Jesus has been taken up from you into heaven and will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. He has been taken up from you. He's been lifted up. As his disciples looked on, Jesus was lifted up into heaven, and a cloud took him from their sight. He has been lifted up. In the Old Testament, these words, to lift up, referred to royal enthronement. Christ's ascension, which we celebrate today, means the enthronement of the crucified and risen Son of Man at the right hand of the Father, the manifestation of God's kingship over the whole world and over all creation. Christ has been lifted up. God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. But Jesus was also taken up, the scriptures say. Where was he taken? Where is probably the wrong question to ask. For the event of the ascension is not a journey to on high, but rather is a celebration of the action of God's power. The Father brings his Son Jesus into the space of divine closeness, divine intimacy. The presence of the cloud that took him out of their sight connects the ascension with the history of God and the people of Israel, with God's closeness to his people. For there was a cloud upon Mount Sinai when God gave the commandments, the new law, the law to his people, the Israelites. There was a cloud above the tent of the covenant in the desert where God came to dwell with his people. There was the luminous cloud upon Mount Tabor when Jesus appeared transfigured in glory before Peter, James, and John, again to reassure them of God's closeness and his glory. To present the Lord wrapped in clouds recalls the same mystery expressed in the symbolism of the phrase, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. In Christ ascended into heaven, humanity too enters into intimacy with God in a new way. Man now finds room in God forever, and God draws ever closer to man. Jesus ascended into heaven. We too desire heaven. But heaven is not some place above the stars, but is something far more daring than an astronaut going up into space. Heaven indicates Christ himself, the divine person who welcomes humanity fully and forever, the one in whom God and man are united forever. What is heaven? To be in God. This is heaven, to dwell in God. We draw close to heaven to the extent that we draw close to Jesus and enter into communion with him. The ascension invites us to draw close to him, invisibly present in our lives, invisibly present in the sacred host. The disciples then return to Jerusalem after the Lord has ascended. They return to Jerusalem, the scriptures tell us, with joy. The joy stems from the fact that the ascension was not really a separation from the Lord at all. It was not the Lord's permanent absence from his people. On the contrary, the disciples were certain now that the risen one was alive and that in him the gates of eternal life had been opened to humanity forever. We now can experience heaven, and that fills us with joy. The ascension did not imply Jesus' absence from the world, but began a new form of his presence through his sharing in the Father's royal power. But it was up to his disciples, emboldened and clothed with the power from on high, that is the power of the Holy Spirit, to make his presence visible by their witness and preaching. You are witnesses to these things. We now are his disciples. In what are you clothed? What are you wearing? Is it the power from on high, the Holy Spirit? This morning in Rome, Pope Francis canonized Antonio Grimaldo and his 800 companions, martyred at Otranto in Italy. Only Antonio Grimaldo's name is known to us. The other 800 plus companions are unknown. Antonio was a tailor, a maker of clothes. The Saracens attacked this easternmost city of Italy with vast numbers and overwhelmed the townspeople. They killed all the men over age 15, and all the women and children were made slaves. They slaughtered the elderly archbishop in the cathedral and also those gathered in prayer with him. 800 men survived, and they were captured, and they were taken up to the top hill in the city, where the women and children, their loved ones, watched on. And they were asked to convert to Islam or die. The priest gave up his faith. The tailor, Antonio Grimaldo, spoke thus: "My brothers, until today we have fought in defense of our homeland, to save our lives, and for our earthly governors. Now it is time for us to fight to save our souls for our Lord. And since he died on the cross for us, it is fitting that we should die for him, remaining firm and constant in faith. And with this earthly death, we will earn eternal life and the glory of martyrdom. I prefer to die 1,000 times by any sort of death rather than renounce Christ." At these words, all shouted with one voice and with great fervor that they wanted to die 1,000 times by any sort of death rather than renounce Christ. And one by one, they lost their heads, all 800. They were witnesses to these things, to his death, to his resurrection, and to his glorious ascension into heaven, to a firm hope that eternal life awaits the faithful disciples. What did they wear? They wore robes dipped in the blood of the Lamb, and so were clothed in the glory of the martyrs and entered into heaven, communion with God. And they dwell in God. And this is heaven. What are you wearing? What will you wear at the hour of your death? Will you be his witnesses to all these things?